Welcome to the More Than Just Mowing podcast. I'm your host, Joel Cleaver, and this is the official podcast of Jim's Mowing. If you didn't know it, it's the world's largest gardening franchise with more than 2,000 franchisees in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. And on the podcast show, we interview franchisees, our franchisors who run the regions and manage the franchisees, and also Jim himself. So there's a lot of broad range of content, and we do encourage you, if you are researching more about Jim's Mowing, about what we do, go through those episodes. It will give you a great sense of who we are. So without further delay, here's today's episode. Craig Wood from Jim's Mowing Sebastopol, and you're another one of our core voucher winners. So on behalf of the Jim's Group, we want to present you with that. You've got a great customer service rating. I had a look. And you've also got a really great story as well about why you joined Jim's Mowing and how you've been going. So maybe you want to just first off introduce yourself and how you got involved with the Jim's Mowing and Jim's Group.
Yeah, my name's Craig Wood. I live in Ballarat, and I've purchased a franchise which covers, my base area is Sebastopol, but I cover all over Ballarat and the surrounding regions. I joined up with Jim's, went through my training block and started in August of 2021, so nearly 2 years. And, I was just looking for an opportunity to work for myself, have a bit of control around my situation financially but also lifestyle-wise. And it's come through really well in that regard.
And what were you doing prior to Jim's, Craig?
Prior to Jim's, I worked in the printing and public relations areas for around 29 years.
Wow.
Working in middle management and team leadership, things like that. Became quite jaded and burnt out by the whole corporate world and really tired. Stressed and anxious. I put on a lot of weight, just needed something different in my life. And buying a Jim's franchise really has come through as a good decision I made. Yeah.
Well, it's pretty tough to go from 29 years of employment to what you've done. Like, it's not easy. I think the longer you stay in employment, the harder it is to sort of pull away from it. So how was that, early time making that transition from long-time employee to running your own business? How was it in the early days?
Early days, it was a big risk, I guess, financially particularly, and also just the unknown. But I guess I just hung on pretty fast to the things Jim talked about at the induction and training, and just got out there and gave it a red-hot go. I think that's the thing. When you get into this sort of thing, you've got to sort of invest yourself completely get your head down and get into it. And it is a risk. Like anything in life is a risk. But it's I think it's a pretty strong system to get involved with, really strong frameworks around how we deliver our service, but also how it can pay off as an income-wise.
And how was the body in the early days?
Oh, my body laughed at me, I'm sure. I was crying at me and screaming at me for the first few weeks, because after having an office-bound job for, you know, best part of 30 years, moving into a job where you're on your feet doing physical stuff all day long, it was hard work, but you get used to it. I was surprised how quickly I did actually get used to it, and it's paid off because I've lost a lot of weight through doing this job. My mental health is so much better because I'm burning off any sort of negativity I feel like, any built-up stress. You sort of burn it off during the day because it's, you know, a physical job. You're out in the fresh air. You're in different spots all the time. So I feel like it's been a really incredibly beneficial change in lifestyle.
I love hearing that because it's something we don't really promote, like, you know, when we, you know, obviously advertise franchises. But yes, the mental health aspect is a big one, and the weight loss. Like, if you are in an office worker or something, and you want to lose those stubborn kgs, like you can't not lose them doing what you do. Like, if you're not losing the weight doing what you do, you're not obviously doing it right or doing it hard enough. So,
yeah, absolutely. I've lost best part of 10 kilos in the first 18 months I did.
Wow.
And that's without really changing my diet really that much. It's just the fact you're on your feet, you're out working, you're clocking up easily 10,000 steps a day. And at times, depending on how hilly the ground you're working on, you could be going up and down hills, so you get a bit puffed. But after a while, you don't get puffed because you just get used to it. And, So that's been really good. My doctor is absolutely rapt because my cholesterol levels have gone down, blood pressure's gone down, reduced a lot of medications I was on for those issues I had, and I can be happy with that myself, obviously.
That's great to hear. And what do you want to talk about the services you provide in your business? Are you doing the full gamut of services? What do you do for customers?
I do mostly everything that Jim's Mowing offers. Because of my age, I'm 53, I sort of limit the amount of gutter cleaning I do, but that's my choice. If they're low-hand gutters and I think I'm up to it, I'll do it. But that's really up to me as a franchise owner, what I do and what I don't do. Majority of my work is mowing, edging, doing pruning, roses, hedges, all that sort of thing. That's really enjoyable work to do.
Now, skill-wise, how did you find yourself doing that? Because you're probably coming from a completely unrelated field into doing it in the early days. So is it something where you took your time or you asked your franchisor, or how did you go about getting those skills as you went?
I've always enjoyed working on my own garden, like doing the mowing and the pruning myself. So I've always had a bit of a felt a bit of pride in how I'd presented my gardens and my yards and things like that. So I guess I had a bit of the inbuilt sort of knowledge to start with. I had all pretty good machinery at home, but also the Jim's training block for mowing was really helpful as well, because you're learning off seasoned, experienced people, and they taught me a lot. And just working with some of the other franchisees in the early stages of my time, they showed me the ropes as well. You pick it up fairly quickly as long as you pay attention to what's around you and who you're learning off.
In Ballarat, I presume the grass grows a lot with the weather, and there's a lot of good gardens up there and some nice houses, I presume you'd be working on every day.
Yeah, there's plenty of work, that's for sure. The grass grows pretty green in Ballarat. It's a pretty damp, cool place. But also with that, you've got challenges in winter with boggy ground and things getting hard in summer as well. But you find other ways of getting that income in other ways. So you offer customers other services. If you can't cut the grass, well, how about I go and do some weeding for you? Or I do a bit of pruning or hedging or things like that, just general tidying up around the place. And if you've got a good relationship with your customer base, they're open to that conversation, and often it'll work.
That's great to hear. And the training itself, so you did you, because when you started, I think, I don't know, I can't remember if it was still lockdowns and stuff going on, did you do it in person or at online?
Well, my training was a bit unusual in that it was all in person until about the second day of our mowing training, and we went into lockdown. Yeah. Thanks. Our lovely Premier Daniel Andrews.
I remember
and
that.
And so I did the second half of my training online. So it was mostly all videoed and, you know, learnt that way.
How's the in-person experience then for you?
In-person was wonderful. Yeah, great. You'd meet, rub shoulders and chatted over meal times and morning tea, afternoon tea, et cetera, with other potential franchisees around you, and had one-on-one with Jim himself and with the trainers, and it was really beneficial being there. I think it's, if I was to encourage anyone, it would be at the training. But also, I found also having experienced remote learning with it as well, it was good too, yeah.
And with the training itself, was there anything you took away from those, because there's a lot of information in those days, but was there things that you took away that worked in your business or you applied?
Some of the training around managing your time was really good. I still, even from time to time, think of what they told me around planning when you're slotting in your jobs for the week, how you drive around through the jobs, how you prioritise certain jobs over others. So that was really beneficial, and I took away a lot from that. Also just about being open to learning as well. I'm currently doing a certificate too in horticulture.
Oh, great.
So that stuck with me, the idea that you're always going to be learning something, and it's good to know more than just the surface level stuff.
Oh, horticulture stuff is great. You know, I know Des does the introduction to it and he's real passionate about it, and it's just having that skill where you can walk into a customer's home. If they know what their garden is, then you can go, oh, yeah, I can see you've got hydrangeas, or I see you got this, I see you got this. Like, it just demonstrates that knowledge straight away.
Yeah, that's right. And I can tell them hopefully in a few months I can tell them I've got a certificate too in horticulture. I know the difference between a weed and plant. I can tell them, oh, no, you've got to get rid of that, or when's a good time to prune this? And from that, they ask me a lot of questions now. So it's been really good.
That's great to hear. In regards to the business and how it's married up to what your expectations are, has it exceeded it, or has it been about what you expected, or how have you found it?
I've found it pretty much met my expectations. I've got to say it's got a lot more flexibility in it than I expected, and I'm still getting used to that flexibility after being in a rigid corporate office environment for so many years, probably far too long than I really wanted to. But I found that there's a lot of flexibility in that I think, oh, well, in a few weeks' time I want to head interstate for a wedding, or, you know, go to the footy in Adelaide or something like that. I can plan to take the Friday off to drive over, and it's not a problem whatsoever. I make the decision. I plan my customers around that. If you've got the good relationship with the customer, they're flexible as much as I am. So that's been really good. Probably the biggest bonus of it is that flexibility you have with your lifestyle.
Are you a Crows fan? Are you a Port Adelaide? Or
No, I'm a Hawthorn supporter.
Hawthorn fan, okay, right.
Yeah, good mate in Adelaide's like Adelaide man, so sometimes go over the footy.
That's interesting you said that in regards to flexibility, that you didn't know what to do with the flexibility or the lifestyle. But it's good, as you said, you've got that there. You just have that knowing that you can, whereas in the corporate environment, where you're 9 to 5 or you know, you're driving 8s or 6 and you just don't have that.
Whereas I used to fill in a form requesting time off for leave. And all that stuff's now a distant memory for me. Yeah. I enjoy the flexibility. If I've got a doctor's appointment, whatever, I can make it any time of the day and just work around it. It's simple. This would have been great when I had young kids, when they're in school, and I would have been able to be there a bit more for them. However, now I have that flexibility now with other things with my kids, so that's good.
That's great. And I was going to say the misconceptions from customers about Jim's Mowing. What's some stuff when you talk to customers that maybe they don't understand about the Jim's Mowing service or the Jim's Mowing offer, what you can do?
I guess one of the things people say to me when they say about Jim's is there are bonuses that Jim's have a reputation and a name, and that the customers know that they might pay a little bit more than maybe a lot of other people, but they know they're getting a particularly structured service. So that's a real bonus to it. But some people think we're overpriced or a bit much, or why are you charging $20 more than an independent contractor? And I'll just say, well, you know what we're going to get. We get trained. We've got a certain level we've got to meet. And they know that there's some sort of backing behind just me. They've got a avenue to air any grievances they might have with me. So it's not just me they're dealing with. They're dealing with a bigger structure. So I guess I can explain to them that there's more to it than just me. I can offer a lot more.
That's a good point you bring up, Craig. So is that how you generally deal with the price objection? Because we are, you know, we're not going to be like the $20 mo or the $30 guy chucking the back of the trailer. We are a good service for a good price. So how do you advise that franchisees or just deal with that sort of maybe that price objection, or how do you go about it?
I talk to them about the fact that it's their decision, the customer's decision. I don't have to get me to do the work for them. But a lot of the independent contractors aren't insured. They don't have, say, police checks or working with children checks. They don't have that assurance that they're dealing with someone they can trust, or someone at least who's been had the once over to make sure they're okay to be working in their property. So I tell them about that. I tell them about the fact that I can provide something in a systematic way, all the way from the way I quote through the way I deliver an invoice, that they have the avenues all the way through to stop me and say, I like this, but I don't like what you're doing there. And I'll talk to them and I'll work with them and do the very best I can for them.
And you're not going to go missing. That's the main thing as well. And you're not going to go missing, which is the one I hear a lot of time. Yeah,
that's right. I hear from people who get me to work for them that they find some guy, I can't get in touch with him anymore. So I really, and it all comes back to what Jim said in his initial training, is that your number one priority through the whole experience of being a gym's franchisee is the relationship with your customer, and that if you've got that down and they trust you, the opportunities for income and work are just huge.
Absolutely. And I was going to say and like with customers, like they get burnt once by an independent or whatever, they know that, oh, I'm not going to do that again, and I'm going to be happy to pay for the, they have to sometimes unfortunately learn the hard lesson to then realize I've got to pay for a good provider and the trust and the name and these different things.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. The old saying goes, you pay for what you get for,
Absolutely. And I was going to say as well, with your equipment, what equipment do you recommend or do you find that you use in your business? Everyone loves hearing what our guys use. So what do you use in your business, Craig?
Most of my handheld, or my number one mower is Honda. A lot of my handheld equipment is Honda as well. I highly recommend, if people were interested in going into a franchise, but at some point early on they should get hold of a ride-on mower and definitely go for zero turn, and I use a Toro zero turn. They are a little bit more expensive, but they are so reliable and do a great job.
Absolutely. And so you're using Honda for the handheld and the mower, which is generally, I think, the most popular mower our guys use, and the Toro ride-on, which is, I don't really hear many guys using the Toro. I think it's generally like walkers and hustlers and stuff, but the Toro is a really good quality piece of kit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sorry, I was going to say now, with looking back on it, what advice would you have given yourself in the early days to maybe make your life a bit easier as a franchisee? If someone's starting out, or, you know, what could you maybe tell them in the early days to look out for?
Don't rush. In your early days, don't rush. Just ease your way into it. I probably rushed a little bit and worried about income too much. It will happen. Especially those first couple of weeks, you've just got to take deep breaths and take your time and not expect it all to happen at once. And another thing is, you will make mistakes. I made numerous mistakes, still do at times, and you learn by those. And if anyone says they don't make mistakes, I don't think they're being truthful to themselves. You do make mistakes, and as long as you learn by them and understand why things happened, then you'll develop stronger knowledge. And mistakes cost money too. That's another thing that you've got to understand. It's just being aware that things will happen. As long as you learn by them and move on, you'll be fine.
Yeah, it's a good point. Everyone makes mistakes, and it's sometimes the best teacher. You can't you know, you can't really learn and progress if you're not making mistakes. It's quite funny. I manage the mowing socials, and you see a lot of independents, and they're always having a crack about, you know, these various things, like they don't make any mistakes, which is definitely not true from what you would know from dealing with customers who deal with maybe come to you after having a bad experience. So it's the only way you can definitely learn.
Yeah.
Now, what's your plan for your business moving forward, Craig? Are you just happy doing what you're doing at the moment as a sole trader? Are you looking to expand, or what are your goals?
Mostly I'm happy to work for myself and by myself. I don't really have plans to expand as in with employees or put on a
That's all right. Put on offsider sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have plans to expand in that regard. I do have plans to streamline my customer list to be a certain type of property, but that will take time. It's about culling and making sure I've got customers who are reliable financially for me, as in will pay on time, people who I connect well with and that appreciate what I do, but more importantly, that I can deliver exactly what they want. So I don't have any concerns as far as losing them or anything like that.
That's a great point, yeah, because you can shape your business the way you want it. So, you know, having that, as you said, the customers you want, the types of properties, and if you want to do a split or something, or, you know, whatever you want to do, that's the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. Now, Craig, thank you very much for your time today. And I just want to, again, just thank you for being a star franchisee. I'm glad you talked about the mental health and the fitness component of being a Jim's Bowling franchisee. It's quite often understated, but it's definitely a main benefit. I meet guys a lot who, 65 or in their 60s who have been doing it for 20 years and they look like they're 45. So you look very young, mate. So it's keeping you young. And so on behalf of us as well, two nights to stay in any Accor hotel. There's like 1,400 of them around Australasia. So that's for you and your partner.
Thank you.
50% of your dining bill. There's all these other benefits as well. So on behalf of us, thank you very much for doing what you do and for joining us today, Joel, on the Jim's Mowing podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joel. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you for listening to the episode of the More Than Just Mowing podcast by Jim's Mowing. If you do need help with your local gardening expert, please give us a call at 131 546 for Australia, 0800 454 654 for New Zealand, or head to jimsmowing.com.au or jimsmowing.co.nz. If you liked what you heard, please make sure you leave us a review as well. Wherever you consume your podcast, we appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.